the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy Doomsday 519, and this is episode 218. With me is my tag team partner in this venture, hailing from the West Side Goth.
Yay! From Colorado, the place of many, many badly named weed shops. So I do give props to the one guy who had the shop Kush Gardens, just because, you know. I just
Kush Gardens? No way.
Yeah. Oh, so most of them were like Green IQ, Green Dragon. I swear to God, there was like 5 or 10 of them in the two cities between where I was.
Yeah. Baltimore, Baltimore has a few dispensaries opening up around the area. I forgot what they were called, though.
I don't think they'll be better than Kush Gardens.
Yeah, but yeah, they're not doing all that pun shit though, and green or whatever. But yeah, so they have those. I heard in California they're like disposing. They have to dispose of a lot of weed though.
Oh, I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, like some like. I think they said something about like regulations changing, and then like some of the weed isn't up to snuff, so they basically had to dump.
We're bougie up in California, so. Yeah.
So they said there was like over $300 million worth that was getting dumped.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's California. I mean, we want our shit organic and good.
Yeah.
Other than that, I didn't really do much. I got sick. I was up in the mountains, saw a couple of deer, went hiking. Yeah. I was at the apartment thing that was across from the main house, so when it got dark, it was some, like, serial killer shit out there. Like, there was really no lights between the two houses, so you were taking your life into your own hand. It's going from one to the other at night.
Wow.
Yep. I also got to go to Aspen, Colorado.
Aspen?
Aspen.
So with the bougie white folks?
Yes, but the thing I didn't realize about Colorado is there's a lot of Mexicans.
Huh.
I mean, most of them were probably working for the bougie white folks, but a lot of Mexicans, a lot of Mexican restaurants, too.
Huh.
But yeah, like, we were there.
I guess South Park is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The clothing shops were, like, ludicrous. Like, my cousin Sierra went in one. She picked up a shirt. It was, like, $80, and she put it down. And I was like, yeah, no. Shit's not gonna slide.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it was, it was nice. I mean, they had a nice-ass library. I was like, damn. But it's expensive as fuck. But enough about Aspen, Colorado. Let's talk about some wrestling. You ready for some Extreme Rules? Did you watch this nonsense?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I missed what happened during the pre-show. So I saw like a tiny fraction of the Cien Almas Sin Cara match, which of course Cien Almas won. And I missed the other two matches, like the tables match. Which we heard was pretty good. It was that one was only 8 minutes though, and the B team beating Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt in 8 minutes as well.
Yeah.
Well,
let's go through this whole thing with all the details. First up, we got a theme song, "Heaven's Got a Back Door" by Dead Sara.
Yeah, I barely paid attention to that.
What?
Yeah, I barely paid attention to whatever the theme song was, so I like, if you played it right now, I couldn't really distinguish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know who the sponsors are. They were Tap Out and Aeropostale.
Oh, God. Tap Out.
Yeah.
God, I remember when Tap Out was making them, like, god-awful shirts before they rebranded.
Yeah. I don't know. I think all the Tap Out shirts are terrible, but that's just me.
Like, the new shit makes sense because it's, like, athletic wear, and, like, they made it simple. But, like, back then, that shit was, like, garbage because they were just throwing designs all over the place.
Yeah. We also have 14,700 in attendance at the PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, you were talking about the pre-show, yes. Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega did defeat Sin Cara in 7 minutes. Sanity defeated The New Day in 8 minutes in a tables match. And the B Team, or the new WWE Raw Tag Team Champions, beat Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Wait. The first two are pre-show. Okay, so that was actually the first show, match on the main show then.
Oh, was it?
Well, it doesn't have a P next to the number, so I'm assuming it has to be.
No, it wasn't. That might have been a typo, because I could have sworn the first match was Balor, Baron Corbin.
Maybe. They're both about the same length in time, which was Finn Balor defeating Baron Corbin in 8 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Actually, most of these matches are short as fuck. I mean,
yeah.
Carmella, for some god-awful reason, defeated Asuka. What did WWE forget they have a women's revolution going on?
Yeah, that shit was terrible.
I mean, I'm not. I hate to root for Ronda Rousey, but they need a champion on one of these shows that can actually fight. But yeah, that one was 5 minutes and 25 seconds. Nakamura beat Jeff Hardy in 6 seconds. Kevin Owens defeated Braun Strowman by being thrown off the cage in a little over 8 minutes. I didn't see any of these matches. I was
The Kevin Owens Braun Strowman was pretty decent. Of course, everything else was like short and not noteworthy, really.
Got the Bludgeon Brothers here, defeating Team Hell No in 8 minutes.
Yeah, because like what happened with that was Kane and Daniel Bryan got attacked, and Kane got really messed up. So Daniel Bryan had fought most of the match by himself until Kane showed up in one of those like plastic casts for his foot, ankle, whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, they still lost.
We have Bobby Lashley defeating Roman Reigns in the longest match of the night so far to set up the next match, because that's how WWE books shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think now that fuck it. I don't understand WWE booking.
Yeah,
next
know.
Up, Alexa Bliss beat Nia Jax in a hardcore match in 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Then the next match came out was AJ Styles defeated Rusev, retaining the WWE Championship in over 15 minutes and 30 seconds. Then the real longest match was Dolph Ziggler defeated Seth Rollins 5-4 in sudden death in 30 minutes and 10 seconds. Overall, 12 shows on this pay-per-view, at least 9 of them on the main show, and only one match over 20 minutes long, and only 3-4 matches total over 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, sounds like a crappy card. I was on my way to
Barstow. It was okay. It was okay. It's like you can't, at this point, you can't really be mad at this shit anymore.
Yeah, at some point, you just accept that WWE is doing this, or you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm accepting that I'm going to keep paying for the WWE Network, because we got a Mae Young Classic coming up soon.
Yep, and I got some news on that later.
Yes. All right, moving on from Extreme Rules, let's go through these shows of the weekend real quick. There is an AAW show happening on Saturday. Let's see if their Twitter feed... tell me what the fuck they're doing. It's on the 21st. Alright. Do I have to go? Oh, sorry, at the bottom and work my way up, and hopefully I'll find something. I really hate how these companies are doing this shit now.
Yeah.
Alright. This is what I can tell we have. Alright. Never mind, I gotta go further down because can't even keep all the things together. All right, I guess I'll start with this DJ Zima match. DJ Zima Ion versus Trey Miguel.
Boop, 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 boop.
We have Kurt Stallion. Yep, and Jake Something versus Ricky Starks and Aaron Solo. What do we got here? You got the MJF versus Ace Romero, Desmond Xavier versus Rey Fénix, Jimmy Jacobs and Brody King versus OI4K. Sue Young challenges for the AAW Women's title against Kimberly. Then we got the team of wrestling, David Starr, Eddie Kingston, and Trevor Lee versus ACH and the Besties in the World. Let me see if there's any other matches on here besides that. Okay, a TLC match. Wait. Is Trevor Lee in two fucking matches then? Oh, no, no. This was a TLC match for the number one contender for the Heritage title match as Shane Strickland, AR Fox, Stephen Wolf, The Bad Reed, and Pac will face off in a TLC match. So that appears to be your AAW card. Now let's look at the other show for the weekend. It is Powerbomb TV. That makes it easier. It's called it's Pro Wrestling Chaos presents Heir to the Throne. Except instead of an E, it's a 4, so I'm guessing this is Heir to the Throne 4. Yeah, whatever. Alright, it's from the UK with special guest WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett. JEFFJARRETT. Nice. He's the general manager for the evening. Alright, what we got? We got the Heir to the Throne ladder match. Flash Morgan Webster versus Matt Horgan versus Danny Jones versus James Drake versus Elijah versus Nathan Bain versus LK Mezinger. Loser leaves Chaos. Alex Steele versus Eddie Dennis. Man Like Beano versus Mark Haskins. Dick Riley, Session Moth Martina, and Sugar Dunkerton versus Crazy Teacups and Chelsea Green. Plus the reigning King of Chaos champion Big Grizzly will be in action. And those are the shows of the weekend that I could find that have nothing to do with other promotions and whatnot. Obviously, CMLL has their Friday show. If you miss it on Friday, it'll be up on their YouTube channel the next day. So check it out if you care. But we also got good old G1 Climax. So see what already happened on the... Did you watch any of the G1 Climax?
Not yet, actually. Surprisingly, no.
All right. Well, let me go through what's going on. On July 14th, was the first of shows, the first Block A show. Togi Makabe and Yoshihashi had a good match. Yoshihashi had new fucking gear.
Oh,
and
word?
It looked okay. And he didn't have that pole thing with him. So it was like a silver sleeveless kind of coat, vest, jacket thing. And his tights were actually tight. They weren't loose. So, Makabe won, though. It was a very good starting match. Baluk, Fale, and Hangman Page had a match that was ended up in shenanigans with Page getting a DQ victory of all things. Firing Squad not giving a fuck. Michael Elgin defeated Evil in a really good fucking match. And I hate saying that because of Elgin, but it was a really good fucking match. We had Tanahashi, the first time in years that he won his first match of the tournament, defeating Minoru Suzuki. Suzuki was beating his ass, but Tanahashi hit an inverted, like, dragon screw leg whip. I had never seen it before, and I swear to God, I thought Minoru Suzuki pulled a muscle. He was screaming in pain before Tanahashi hit the high fly flow. And then we had Kazuchika Okada lose to Jay White.
Wow.
He, as it was building, he tried to go for the Rainmaker. Jay White swung his free arm far enough to hit the ref, so that way he didn't have to kick out of the finish, and then he came in with some heel tactics and won the match. So, yep. So, pretty good first night. It wasn't like a super great show, but some good matches. I liked it. It was very story-heavy, but good stuff. B-Block brought more of the heat on their first night. Ishii and Yano had a very interesting match with Yano previously said he was going to not cheat this time, which he tried not to. He actually dug into his amateur wrestling background and did some throws. But it was Ishii who ended up doing the cheating by hitting the low blow followed by the Maestro Cradle to win, which was a very surprising match, really hot with the crowd. But yeah, Ishii pulled a Toro Yano and won. Then we had Juice Robinson, the new U.S. champion, taking on Tama Tonga. And Firing Squad fucked around. Firing Squad got the win as Tama Tonga hit the gun stun to beat the champion. Next up, Hirooki Goto with Sonata had a very good match. With Goto picking up the victory, and the last 5-6 minutes were really good. Then we got the semi-main event, Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr., who were 1-1. Ibushi beat ZSJ last G1 Climax, but ZSJ beat Ibushi in their last encounter at the New Japan Cup. This was a great match, and Ibushi pulled up the victory. And in the main event, Kenny Omega defeated Tetsuya Naito in a great match. Great main event. Good times. Even though I was pulling for... Omega was my choice to win, but deep down, it'll always be Naito. Next night was from... I think they did it in Sapporo, Hokkaido. Another Block A. We had Yoshihashi versus Evil. Evil won. We got... who else we got? We got Michael Elgin, Hangman Page. Had a very good match. Elgin won. What do we got here? Okada versus Fale. Firing Club shenanigans, but Fale got the win with the bad luck fall. Makabe and Minoru Suzuki was just a big fight with Makabe pulling out the victory. You know, it was a good match. And in the main event, Jay White defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi through his crazy shenanigans. Jay White has now defeated 3 of the 4 top guys in New Japan in 7 months? Yeah. In a less than a year's time, he's beating all the major players outside of Tetsuya Naito. So, yep. Alright, so we already booked tonight's show, which this will be up on the Block B night. Block B having Sonata versus Tama Tonga. We both picked Sonata. Toriano versus Zack Sabre Jr. We both picked Zack Sabre Jr. Juice Robinson versus Ibushi. I picked Ibushi. You picked Juice. Ishii versus Naito. I picked Ishii. You picked Naito. And then Goto versus Omega. And we both picked Omega. So next up, what is today? It's the 18th. So we have the 20 through the 22nd. Jesus. And then they're going to take another long break. I don't know why. Oh, yeah. I don't get it. Because after that, it's the 26th and the 27th and the 28th. So they're taking actually more time in between some of the early shows. Probably so they don't let anybody, break down too early. So, all right, here we go with the 20th. Ready, man?
Yep, let's go.
I got Yoshihashi versus Suzuki. Got Suzuki winning this one.
Yeah, I got Suzuki.
All right, we got Elgin versus Jay White, both... right now tied in the lead of A Block. What do you think? I got Elgin to kind of kill Jay White's steam, but it's hard to say.
I got Jay White.
Alright, let me put that down. Next up, we have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Bad Luck Fale. I have Fale.
Yeah, I got Fale.
Okay. Then we got Togi Makabe versus Evil. Makabe at 4 points, Evil at 2. I think I have Evil winning this one.
Yeah, I got Evil.
Alright, let me get my original bits and pieces in there. Alright, there we go. Let me write this down now. So we both got Evil. And then in the main event, it's Okada versus Hangman Page. I have Okada. Finally getting his first win in months, but who knows?
Who was it again?
Okada versus Hangman Page.
Oh, shit. I got Hangman.
Okay. Wouldn't really surprise me. Okada might... Who knows? Okada might lose all the matches. That would be a surprise, right?
Yeah.
He's so lost that he can't do anything. All right. On the 21st... Block B, we got Yano versus Kota Ibushi. I actually have Yano to win this.
I still got Ibushi.
All right, Ibushi it is. Next up, we got Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sonata. I have Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, ZSJ.
All right, Juice Robinson versus Tetsuya Naito. I believe I got Naito to win this one.
Yeah, I got Naito.
Sorry, Juice. I know you're the U.S. champion and all, but this is a stacked ass block right here. Kenny Omega versus Tama Tonga. I got Tama Tonga taking this one for the Firing Squad.
Yeah, Tama.
And then we also
Funny. Okay, so like, did you see that? Did you read that interview from Naito about him talking trash about the quality of wrestlers in the G1?
Oh yeah. I like his point. It's like, if you're gonna book these guys, why not put Taichi in? But it's not wrong. I do think some of these guys should probably have a qualifying match.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some of the guys talking about C Block. Apparently, Toa Hanare believes he's winning C Block. But Tonga Loa has been picking up the wins for his tag matches, so who knows? But yeah, they got some of those guys are joking about C Block right now. But yeah, I saw his thing. I saw a little bit of Sonata's thing too. It's I don't disagree. Okay, but who do you have, Goto or Ishii? I got Goto.
I got Goto.
All right, and then the 22nd is Okada versus Makabe. Might be the main event. I got Okada.
Yeah, let me get Okada.
All right, Bad Luck Fale versus Evil. I don't remember who I picked for this one. It might be Evil that I picked. Yeah, it's Evil that I picked.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go with Evil.
Alright, Tanahashi versus Hangman Page. I got Tanahashi.
I got Hangman Page.
Okay, let's write that down. Page. Alright, Jay White versus Minoru Suzuki. I got Suzuki.
Yeah, let me get Suzuki.
Alright. Apparently Minoru Suzuki is the first guy in MMA to win with the crooked head scissors. Did you know that?
Oh no, I didn't know that.
He might actually still be the only guy. So I saw the gift, someone pointed that out, and Jesus Christ, I thought he was breaking the dude's neck with it on. tweaking that shit. Alright, Elgin versus Yoshihashi. I actually gave it to Yoshihashi to win one. Fuck Michael Elgin.
Yeah, I'll go with Yoshi.
Alright. And let's just do the 26th one, since that'll be the Thursday this next show goes up. We got Sonata versus Ibushi. I have Ibushi on this one.
I'm going to go Sonata.
Ooh, okay. Sonata. Next up, Kenny Omega versus Juice Robinson. I actually have Kenny Omega.
Yeah, let me go Kenny.
Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. I have Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, Zack.
Alright, Tetsuya Naito versus Tama Tonga. I got Naito.
Yeah, let me go Naito.
And finally, Goto versus Yano. I don't remember who I have for this one. Let's see, who I have for Goto versus Yano. I have Goto. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to go Yano.
All right. Yano. So, we got our bookings done. We'll, you know, of course, see how far we, how right we are when this thing ends. Right now, I think I was 4-2-4 on the Voices of Wrestling pick'em, so.
Yeah, I didn't do one this year, so.
Yeah. All right, so that's that. I watched a few of the tag undercard matches. They're okay. I still find the whole team of Kota Ibushi and Yujiro Takahashi incredibly fucking strange. Mm-hmm. But yeah, golden pimps, man, golden pimps.
Pimping ain't easy.
Nope. All right, so I guess it's up to you now to tell us about Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, Raw happened. Not really much going on there.
I was following along with Twitter, and when they announced some of the matches, like, well, of course they're going to do what you expect them to do.
Yeah, there was the whole triple threat that's going on, so basically the gist of it was it's going to be another Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns match for the number one contendership of the world title, of the Universal title and shit. Yeah, Bayley and Sasha ended up getting paired up in a tag team match, which they lost because Sasha beat up Dana Brooke and Alicia Fox on the outside, and then backstage she got everybody was upset, yada yada yada. That she said that she loves her and then walked away, blah blah blah. Dolph Ziggler beat Bobby Roode, and then backstage, Mojo Rawley, of all people, made fun of Bobby Roode for losing, saying that he ain't so glorious, yada yada yada. And then Mojo won his match against Tyler Breeze. B-Team won their match against Ascension.
Wait, hold on. Ascension still working?
Yes, yes they are.
Gotta give them props. They're the JTG of the current generation of wrestlers.
Yeah. Authors of Pain beat Titus Worldwide again. Ember Moon lost to Sarah Logan. You heard that right.
Yeah, especially seeing as I think of that entire group as filler.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And that was Raw, really. There wasn't much going on besides the number one contender stuff.
Aren't you excited for Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns Part 2?
Part 2. No, not at all. It's whatever. Well, SmackDown was a little better. AJ Styles faced Andrade Cien Almas in a pretty good match. AJ Styles won that one. It looks like now WWE is counting the days that AJ is champion. So far, he's 256 days in right now. Yeah. Yeah.
He should have lost to Rusev. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't know. Aiden English tried to apologize about costing Rusev the match. Yada, yada, yada. Hopefully it's not like a storyline where he ends up getting broken up with Rusev and shit. That would kind of suck. But, of course, there was Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose. Of course, Becky Lynch won that one. And she got on the mic and said that she's gunning for the women's title. Which then later Paige would announce that that if Becky beats Carmella in a non-title match, that she ends up winning that. Ty Dillinger had a match with Samoa Joe. Of course, Samoa Joe beat the shit out of him. Miz held a funeral for Team Hell No, which ended up in Daniel Bryan saying screwed and attacking him from behind. Eric Young defeated Kofi Kingston in a singles match, and Jeff Hardy ended up winning by DQ against Shinsuke in the in his U.S. title rematch, because Randy Orton came out and beat the shit out of Jeff Hardy. So yeah,
Randy Orton.
Yeah. 205 Live happened. TJP faced, what's his name, the Noam Dar guy, TJPXC tapped him out. Drew Gulak faced a local jobber called Danny Garcia, which is funny because there's a boxer named Danny Garcia, and also Dwayne The Rock Johnson's ex-wife / business partner is named Danny Garcia. Gulak beat that guy. He hit him with a sick Saito suplex. RIP Masa Saito.
Yes.
And he had Gopher Broke on his forearm tape, which is Masa Saito's little calling card thing. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, just a segue. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, because the Saito suplex, I actually used that once in a combative grappling course. Shit was dope.
That is a mean move.
What?
It's a mean move.
It is. Like, if you hit it just right, it can knock the wind out of somebody. Because I had a match, and I think it only took me, 40-something seconds to win in the competitive grappling. Dude had me in a headlock. So he was already in a good position. All I had to do was, switch my arm and wrap it around him. And I hit him with the Saito suplex. He got disoriented on the ground, so I quickly scrambled and choked him out. It was fantastic. Never forget that shit. Dude got so mad, he took his mouthpiece out and flung it across the room. Oh, shit.
No, at least he didn't call the cops. Did you see that thing about the guy who got fouled and got called the cops?
Yo, yeah, it was crazy. People are wilding out these days. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, they're calling cops for nothing. Absolutely.
I saw the video, the guy was asked, the guy was like, it's the first time getting called for a foul. I've never been called for a foul before.
Wow.
He told me this was a fight.
That's sad.
He's straight lying on this shit.
Yeah.
Some of the white guys in the background are like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
Giving all white basketball players a bad name.
Oh, I'm just reading this random thing right now. Apparently, CM Punk and AJ Lee are in a remake of a horror movie.
Really?
Yeah, apparently it's a remake of a Cronenberg movie called Rabid.
Oh, God. You guys seen that one? Wait, hold on. It might actually be a movie I have on my DVR to watch. Let me see. Because I remember a couple years ago I watched a lot of David Cronenberg movies, and he's a good director, but I don't fucking care for his movies.
Yeah.
Like, I watch him, I'm like, and it's like, this is alright, but I don't think I give a damn. Alright, so no, I haven't seen Rabbit. I saw the one before he did Rabbit.
Yeah.
It's the one with Marilyn Chambers, the Playboy playmate, I believe. Oh, sorry, pornographic film actress. Oh, from the famous film Behind the Green Door. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that one is, I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, it's because it was the first film to have an interracial sex scene.
Oh, really?
So, you know, Marilyn Chambers, you know, she did her part for the black cause.
Yeah, it paves the way.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah,
the production of this movie is dramatized in the movie Rated X, starring Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Oh yeah, Idris Elba ran into some trouble naming his production company Green Door Productions because I like doors and green is my favorite color.
Oh yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, but he was asked about it. In the movie Cannonball Run, the character portrayed by Jackie Chan starts playing Behind the Green Door on a video player in his car, nearly causing him to crash. I'm sorry. I don't think Punk and AJ Lee could bring the legendary status of this movie that this original film has. But
yeah.
Sure, we'll give it a try.
Yeah. But also, what was I going to say? It is also directed by the Soska sisters.
Let's see that. I know. There's a clothing shop called Terror Threads, and they sell some stuff from the Sasuke sisters.
Yeah,
official Sasuke sisters shirts.
I think the only thing I've seen from the Sasuke sisters was American Mary, with what's her name, Elizabeth Winstead or whatever.
Yeah. The Terror Threads is a pretty cool website for horror related merchandise. I bought my hoodie from there, but they got official Halloween shirts. I think they also have some of the Sleepaway Camp stuff if you're into that. Sasuke sisters. And then some, like, original, mine is an original design, but it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty cool, if you like horror stuff and you want to have horror t-shirts, it's a pretty good one. So, Terror Threats, sponsor this podcast. Shout it out.
And it wasn't, and my bad, I think the lead actress in American Mary was Catherine Isabel. Yeah, that's what it was.
I don't remember what I've seen her in.
Yeah. What was she in? She was in Freddy vs. Jason.
Ginger Snaps Girl.
The Carrie remake also. Oh, she was in the Hannibal TV series as Margot Verger.
Yeah. She got her start on the famous werewolf film Ginger Snaps. You ever see that one?
No, I've never seen that one.
It's one of the Canadian horror films, which is rare because they don't make a lot of horror films up there. Mm-hmm. It's about two girls going through adolescence, and she's playing as one of the girls. So apparently some werewolf films get tied in with females on their period, menstruation, and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, So it's a pretty interesting film for... in the kind of the feminist horror canon, if you're into that. Other than that, it's a pretty interesting werewolf movie. Huh. Werewolf movies don't, you know, get made as much as other types of monster movies, so of the werewolf movies I saw, it's pretty good. Huh. I mean, I've only really seen that, American Werewolf in London, and The Howling, and of the three, I would say The Howling was the least interesting of them, and that one was still pretty good because it was a Joe Dante film. Joe Dante, of course, the Gremlins guy. And Looney Tunes back in action. I fucking love Joe Dante. Huh. Dude's an American hero. I don't know if he's American.
Werewolf shit. Speaking of werewolf shit, that was... It's actually funny you mentioned werewolf stuff, because, like, I remember... it was only a few days ago, like, I was... like, for some reason, something possessed me to look up fucking Big Wolf on Campus.
Huh.
It was a TV show. It was a Canadian TV show, but it aired on ABC Family. Well, I think it used to be called Fox Family before ABC Family. And it starred like this guy who it was a jock, and he went camping one day, and some elderly werewolf guy bit him, and he became a werewolf, and then he ends up being friends with the weird goth kid that has a whole bunch of knowledge of the occult and shit, and he fights bad guys, but while also trying to cure his lycanthropy and shit. So that was actually a pretty cool show when I was a kid. I think that aired like 99 to like 2002. It was actually it was pretty solid show.
I'm about to tie this back to wrestling. She was on two episodes of Psych playing different characters, and we all know Psych was on the USA Network and has featured a number of WWE wrestlers appearing on the show.
That's right, because Charlotte was on in the movie Psych.
Yeah. And John Cena plays the cop's brother who's a secret agent.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. And
the Big Show was on an episode as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I mentioned Charlotte. Apparently, yeah, she was out. I think her return date is the 31st. So the reason she was out is because of she ruptured both of her implants.
Yeah, I just read that.
Not one, but two. And she had shit floating up towards her armpit. So she could have probably died for doing that shit.
Yeah, like she recently had the dental issue too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, because like that's bad. Like you can't like play around with floating. Like I get that. Like you have like important shit to do, But at the same time, if you got shit inside of you floating around, you never know what could get into your arteries or your bloodstream or something. Next thing you know, something clogs up and then you get something amputated, or you just straight up have a fucking like stroke or some shit. Or yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit that could happen, but good thing she got that taken care of.
I also forgot that Psych had a werewolf episode. I don't know what the fuck happened to me right there, but yeah, could have tied it back to that shit. But yeah, I'm hoping she'll be okay. You know, even though I had some problems with Charlotte as a champion because I'm getting tired of the way WWE books around the one champion and hurts the whole division, I'd rather her be champion than fucking Carmella. And I'm not as hard on Carmella as other people are, but if you're not going to give the fucking title to Asuka, she'd have just kept it on fucking Charlotte. And a Charlotte-Becky Lynch match is far more interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then I forgot, the main event of 205 was Lio Rush versus Akira Tozawa, which Lio Rush ended up winning. And he's been playing up the whole, like, cocky yet chicken shit heel thing, so it's pretty interesting. Because he was, you had him really, like, he was playing both sides of it. Like, when he was on the offense, he really hyped up talking shit and, like, and posturing and whatnot. And then when he was getting his ass beat, he was, like, really, like, in on running away or trying to, like, get Akira Tozawa to give him mercy and shit like that. So it was really, really interesting to see. Only problem, of course, the crowd was dead as fuck.
Yeah, they really need to figure out what to do with this crowd.
Yeah.
But I saw some gifts for it. It looked nice.
Yeah.
I see gifts for everything. That's how I follow WWE. I just watch the gifts and go, huh, that looked nice. That looks dumb. Whatever.
All
right. Okay. I guess they're filming NXT right now.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's see what we got going on for the NXT filming. Jeet Rama defeated some guy named Chase Adams.
Oh, hold on. You spoiling tapings?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to hear that.
I don't even know who any of these people are. Who the hell is Cain Velasquez?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Well, he's gonna make an appearance. I don't even know who Jeet Rama is or Chase Adams.
Yeah.
And Adam Cole's fighting some guy named Sean Maluda. Actually, I know Sean Maluda. He was in
Maluda's one of the.
He was at the Samoans. Class, right?
Yeah, he's one of the Samoans. He's like he's another part of that like family annoying. I know why he, family or whatever. Like, an offshoot of that family. Yeah. All that weird shit. I don't know that extensive family tree, but I know he's part of it somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, well, I guess we should probably do some news. All I really want to say is Ayaka Hamada got 18 months probation in Japan.
Huh.
So, yeah. That's so not too bad. She announced her retirement from wrestling.
Yeah, damn. I think she'll probably change her tune after the probation's up.
Yeah, after there's been some time.
Yeah.
She said she's going to look into probably being a Japanese-Spanish translator as a job, which is actually a pretty good position for her. She clearly being mixed race and spending as much time in Japan and Mexico as she has.
Yeah.
Be a good job. But only the best for Ayaka Hamada, who still is on my short list of the best women wrestlers this year. I don't fucking care. Those two or three matches I saw were head and shoulders above most of the other women's matches I've seen this year. You're the best, Ayaka. I love you. You're the best. And obviously you mentioned Masa Saito, who just passed.
Yeah.
R.I.P. And he also was the anniversary of Bruiser Brody's murder a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, yep, and they never sent the guy to jail because fuck you, Puerto Rico. Or is it... Yeah. It was Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah, it was Puerto Rico. Because it was WWC where that happened.
Yeah. And when I say Puerto Rico, I'm just talking about that dude's promotion, the Colon's promotion. I don't actually mean that. I hope you for the best, Puerto Rico. The government's turned their backs on you, but you're great. Rise up, take the power back. Fuck Trump.
Yeah, fuck Trump.
I'm trying to think of any other wrestling news I remember, but I mean, other than just been paying attention to the G1 stuff and reading the occasional interview with, I do know Hiromu Takahashi apparently doesn't need neck surgery for what happened to him, so that's good.
Yeah.
So
he should just like take a extended leave of absence.
He should. I think a good, I mean, luckily we're in the G1 climax right now, so he really doesn't need to do anything until the end of August or September if he had to wrestle. So that's a good about 2 months off right there. And then we'll see. But yeah, he should probably take a more extended vacation. It's not that bad. New Japan will probably not do anything. So it'll really all be up to him. And yeah, fuck Trump. That's all.
Yeah, fuck Trump.
Like,
You heard the story with Taylor Hendricks and Jay Lethal?
Yeah, actually, I just remembered a piece of news, too. But yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
That was right before I went on vacation.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I think ROH said they were going to look into it, but I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, they're not going to figure shit out. Like there's a lot of like he said she said stuff. Like she posted a message, shit that was pretty vague. Like I think it was along the lines of like he texted her that he needed to that he needed to talk to her. But that was the extent of the message. So it wasn't anything like really solid to like say like oh. He propositioned her or whatever. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I have weird feelings about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not denying her because I think I heard somewhere that Jay Lethal's not been the best of dudes to some of the women in the background. I guess he had some, there were some issues with him and AJ Lee at one time, but who knows? The piece of news I forgot was that Puma King is now officially an independent wrestler. He's left CMLL.
Huh.
I guess when the PWG called, he was like, "Yep, time to quit."
Oh yeah, I heard. Yeah, I heard he's taking bookings and shit now. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a good look. He's about the size of a heavyweight wrestler. He's from the Negro Costas family, so you know he's good. And I've seen him in a few matches. So, and he's much more of a traditional luchador than guys like Penta and Rey Fénix, who have a bit more of the American and Japanese influences in them.
Mm-hmm.
But Puma King can go, so.
Yeah. Okay, and speaking of more independent wrestling, people, associated shits, whatever, the ROH Dojo is now basically linking up with multiple promotions / dojos / academies, whatever. So now they basically have a partnership with the 3D Academy. So Bubba and Devon's school, the Power Factory, the Monster Factory, and MCW Maryland Championship Wrestling's Training Center. So all four of those places will basically be feeding young talent to ROH, basically. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because like one MCW guy apparently just debuted in ROH, I think maybe last week. This guy named Joe Key, who just won the Shane Shamrock Cup, which is tournament that I believe Adam Cole and Leo Rush has won. So, pretty interesting. Yeah. Swipe right. Joe Key.
Yep.
Swipe right, Joe Key. Anyway, what else is there? What other news? Did you hear the salaries for the UK deals, allegedly?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So, apparently, according to Dave Meltzer, the salaries for the UK deals are about, like, £24,000, which is $31,600, which is only a little bit more than I make. which would be up from the £20,000 deals the UK performers that originally signed were getting. So they're actually getting paid more than what they were paid before.
Well, I would hope so. They actually got a TV deal now or something. Yeah.
It said, it was noted that the sports entertainment company has the option of canceling at both the 4-month and the 8-month mark, likely as an out in case the ITV Sports World of Sport venture flops, as WWE's UK project is a direct attack on that show. So basically, they have to bank on World of Sport actually being a success in order to continue to work for the WWE. it's very unusual. They said once a talent signs a WWE contract, then it bans them from working for companies with television deals or major online followings on their off days, such as Revolution Pro, Defiant, Impact, Ring of Honor, and New Japan. Outside. Yeah. Yeah. What else happened? Nixon Newell is now Tegan Knox. Yeah, for that change. Ronda Rousey got inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. One thing that's interesting, Mark Cuban. You know who Mark Cuban is, right?
The guy who runs Access, right?
Yeah, he Access, of course, Dallas Mavericks owner, yada, yada, yada. Rich as fuck. He's basically looking to invest in New Japan more, apparently. Specifically with their U.S. expansion. So he's really trying to bankroll that shit. And remember, he was on Raw once. Remember, he got power slammed into a, what was it, Celtics cross. I forgot which move he did, but he went through a table that one time, which was pretty interesting. So yeah, he's really bankrolling. I guess he's trying to help gun for Vince's spot. I guess, I don't know.
What do you think about the whole Jim Ross thing at the New Japan show?
Oh, with the ribs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was exactly what I was about to talk about, too. Like, the ribs, I don't know. Shit. Like,
see, I understand why he's angry, but Jim Ross and Josh Barnett are not good New Japan commentators.
Yeah. They need to find guys that actually know, like, really know the shit. You know?
Yeah, New Japan doesn't like them. The New Japan wrestlers don't like them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I see wrestlers complain about it low-key on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, and apparently Jay White's still doing the slamming the guys in front of the English commentators gimmick now, too.
Oh, yeah,
and
he doesn't do
shit. Don Callis and Kevin Kelly have been kind of mocking it. I mean, mocking JR and Malo.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Since we're talking about that shit, the G1 special, we never really went over that. Of course, Juice Robinson is now the U.S., New Japan's U.S. champ. And, of course, the aftermath of the whole Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega match ended up being Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Meng attacking the rest of the Bullet Club and declaring themselves the real Bullet Club, a.k.a. the Firing Squad, who I believe are now joined by Bad Luck Fale as well. So it's the four of them as their own separate faction of the Bullet Club. Pretty cool.
Yeah, my only problem with this is that I like the Firing Squad as characters much more than the Elite.
Yeah.
They're not as good wrestlers.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a tough thing for me, because I want them to win, but I also want the matches to be good.
Yeah.
But still, fuck the Elite.
Fuck the Elite.
What was the, there was the promo that fucking Bad Luck Fale did. It was like, Elite, fuck them. New Japan, fuck them. Okada's pants, fuck them.
Fuck them.
That's his new shirt. Have you seen it?
No.
It basically just says fuck them, except where the U is for the fuck part is a kind of a small Bullet Club logo. It's simple, and it said that. I mean, that was also his press conference too. He just walked up, looked around, said fuck him, and sat down.
Huh.
Press conference was good. I like Jay White just because after he was done cutting his promo, he just left.
Wow.
He's like, I'm done, and then just walked out. I think some of the Japanese wrestlers were confused for a moment.
Nice. Then, what other shit happened? Fandango, he is out for 6 months because he tore his left labrum. So that's why Tyler Breeze was added by himself on Raw. So good luck on the recovery. Of course, this week is San Diego Comic-Con, so you know wrestling folks had to come through. By this time, by the airing of this podcast, there would have been a few panels for it. The first one being the WWE Mattel panel, which would feature Matt Hardy, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Kathy Kelly, and more. Basically, promotional materials for the panel notes. The WWE Elite Squad invades San Diego Comic-Con. Elite Squad members Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins will be joined by Matt Hardy and the Surprise Superstar 2, along with the Mattel team, for this collector panel moderated by WWE correspondent Kathy Kelly. Get the scoop on the hottest new Mattel WWE action figures.
Did you see what Cody said about Toys R Us going out of business?
Oh, what'd he say?
He said, fuck them. He's like, I was like, my dad made me stop buying toys or whatever when I was a kid. And as for these guys who are upset now, maybe if you went Toys R Us instead of going online and ordering high-class collectibles, this wouldn't have happened.
Fuck.
And he said, the Zacks of the world.
Oh, yeah, he keeps fucking with him, yo. He keeps fucking with
him. Oh, man. Like he said, if you could have went instead of ordering your collectibles online, I was like, old, man.
Yeah, Jesus.
I recently ordered my Demona from Gargoyle's Funko Pop figure, so there's that.
Oh, man.
Chucky T, who says anybody who owns a Funko Pop figure is a murderer, has murdered, or will murder in the future.
Yes, yeah, I saw that. One thing, speaking of Toys R Us, did you see the video with Jeffrey?
With Gangrel,
The cos, because they have that cosplay promotion, and I guess they were doing the Royal Rumble, and Jeffrey was introduced. He enters the Royal Rumble, goes ham, hits a clothesline, hits a chokeslam, but Gangrel gets on his phone, and next thing you know, he is delivered a box. The box is an Amazon box, and he smacks Jeffrey in the face with the Amazon box to knock him out of the ring. So,
one of my favorite things is that one of the criticisms of that was like, why would he call it in?
Exactly.
And that is the most wrestling smart thing ever. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. What else is there also? On Thursday, afternoon before this episode even airs, would have been the Strange Bedfellows panel of Wrestling and Comics. And I guess the tagline is, some have called the spectacle of pro wrestling a comic book come to life. That is not far from the truth. From the heroics of Hulk Hogan, who we'll talk about later, to the anti-heroics of Stone Cold Steve Austin and the villainy of Ric Flair. This panel explores the parallels.
You know, of all three of these, I would rather take the villainy of Ric Flair, to be honest with
you.
Whatever.
Yeah. Explore the parallels in character development and storyline advancement between these forms, featuring Rick Offenberger of First Comic News, Francis Swakowski of the Massacre Twins, Scott Lost of The Second Shift, Michael Kingston of Headlocked, Kevin Klein Rock of A Mass Republic, Flobo Boyce of Legacy, and Anthony Ray Bench of Film Threat, moderated by Joshua Waldrop of Red Gorilla Media. Also included is Headlocked Comics will host Rey Mysterio, Jerry Lawler, Boo, Lita, Psychosis, and Joey Ryan at their booth. Psychosis will be there on Thursday. Jerry Lawler, Boo, Rick Flair. I mean, Rey Mysterio and
Jerry Lawler is he a famous wrestler? I don't know.
And Lita will be appearing on Friday. Saturday on the 21st, Headlocked will feature Lawler and Lita, and Lawler and Joey Ryan will appear on the 22nd. In other news, Wrestling Sheet, Pro Wrestling Sheet has been acquired by Collider. So Ryan has been Satin. Getting that paper. Yeah, Satin. Yeah, that's his last name. Yeah, he's getting to that paper, I guess. So very interesting.
It's weird that he's now a credible journalist versus when he was working with TMZ, right?
Right. Oh man. Apparently, Tessa Blanchard has finally signed a long-term contract with Impact. How long, I don't know. But also, at the same time, Sienna is no longer under contract with Impact Wrestling as well. I believe she got injured, and her contract ran out while she was injured, and she ended up not re-signing.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah. Yes.
The male grouping of Sammy Callahan, OI4K, and them are signed, but the ladies who they work with are not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, what other news? Speaking of injuries, Morishima is actually returning to wrestling.
Yeah, I heard.
So we know he had complications with, like, I believe he had blood pressure and diabetes issues and shit that he had to deal with. Doesn't look like his physique has changed much since he left. So, but I guess he has shit under control that he's coming back. So, good on him. Should be interesting to see. Speaking of returns... we talked about Caitlyn returning to the ring like a couple months back, but now it's really apparently happening because WWE announced her as the first entrant in the Mae Young Classic. Other entrants that have been announced, Rhea Ripley, the Australian baller, big tall John from the first tournament. Io Shirai, of course, who recently got signed. Nicole Matthews as well, who's a familiar indie face. Ginny. Yeah. Ginny from Progress, who I believe she was injured and returned like maybe a month or two ago to Progress. She's finally getting a spotlight that people say that she deserves. So Casey Catanzaro, who is the female American Ninja Warrior winner, who recently got signed some months back. We'll see how she fares in this. Deanna Purrazzo, who recently just got signed as well. She will be part of it. Tegan Knox, we talked about earlier. Reyna Gonzalez, the tall Texan who was in the first tournament. She's also returning. And Jessica Eliban, who I believe she was a former professional volleyball player before she got signed to the WWE. I believe, I don't know, it might have been last year, so I don't know how long she's been signed. Bianca Belair is injured, apparently with a back issue, so she won't be competing in the Mae Young Classic. And she got knocked out.
Sucks.
Yeah. And that's why she won't be competing, or didn't compete in the match for number one contendership of the, and which sucked because it seemed like she could have been a viable one to go up next. Because I remember she cut this nice promo while she was on her honeymoon, which was pretty cool. Damn shame. And speaking of women, The Rock's daughter is actually interested in becoming a wrestler. So,
well, I guess it's time to just polish. Maybe that's why all the champions suck right now. They're just polishing it up for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how do you not give the Rock's daughter a title?
Yeah, I guess. Oh man, I don't know. And what else? What other news? And then since we're in the NXT zone. There was some recent signings and reporting. I guess they reported to the PC Performance Center. There was the wrestlers MJ Jenkins, who got signed recently. Keith Lee, of course, with all his gray hair. Io Shirai. Lacey Lane, who's competed in indie promotions in Mexico. And shit.
Lacey Lane is not a good name. And I say that mainly because it sounds like a porn star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're probably going to change that shit. She's not that well-known a name that they're going to keep that, I'm guessing. And we already talked about...
It's also apparently the name of a children's clothing store in Australia.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah.
And then, what else? Deonna Purrazzo, of course. We just mentioned her. And Stacy
went all in to Mae Young Classic. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. and Stacy Irwin Jr., who is a gymnast, and I think the boyfriend of Simone Biles. Yada yada yada. I think there was a recent video on Instagram of him and Ricochet doing flips and shit outside. So I guess Ricochet's taking him under his wing. I guess. Which makes sense, because, like, they're super flippy and flips and more lips. Anyway, and besides them, there was also a few others, another black guy. So there was, like, at least five black people that reported to the Performance Center in the past few days. So there was another... Yeah, there was that black guy. There was another white guy... He sounded foreign. He sounded European, so I don't know where the fuck he's from. And one other interesting dude, there was a Chinese dude, tall motherfucker, that looked like a spitting image of Giant Baba.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ. So the Chinese version of Giant Baba. Yeah.
They're really trying. And yet, you notice they haven't actually hired any of the Chinese wrestlers that are hot right now.
Oh, yeah. They have other ones signed, though. That's still in developmental, though.
True.
And there's at least three or four of them, I think. Right, before him. What else? A promotion by the name of World Class Revolution Pro Wrestling. Yes, that's the full name of the promotion. Is bringing in Jose Canseco of Audible. So, I don't know if he's going to become a wrestler or whatever, but we all know Jose Canseco, former baseball player / reality TV star, has a sexy daughter. I believe he tried his hand in MMA, and I think his first match he ended up actually getting knocked out in one punch. And I believe there was another incident where he shot his finger off, and there was another incident where he had got pulled over for DUI with a goat in the car. So he's a very unusual individual. But yeah, he's trying his hand in wrestling. Another person who's making some random wrestling appearance is Farrah Abraham, who is a reality TV star known for, I believe it was, what was it, 16 and Pregnant, or either six or the Teen Mom. I think it was Teen Mom. That's what that show was called. And she had also had a tiny stint in adult film as well. And so she's trying her hand in wrestling as well. So it's whatever. Okay, and what other news is there? That the big announcement from ROH and New Japan, the fucking G1 Supercard, man. You excited for that?
I'm excited for the fact someone else is doing Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
he's apparently fucking pissed about this.
Yeah, like I kind of welcome it, but at the same time, I'm kind of indifferent because like I don't really care about ROH. You know?
Yeah, but they threw the G1 in front of it, so I'm thinking that New Japan has to have a bit more of a role, especially because they announced Tanahashi, Okada, and Naito as appearing already.
Yes, and it's supposed to be April 6th, 2019, which goes in direct competition with NXT TakeOver. So
yeah, I believe Stardom might try to put one of their top stars on the show, too.
Yeah. I'm not gonna front though.
If Mayu Iwata.
Yeah, I'm not gonna front though. Like, it's intriguing to see all that shit, but I think I'm still gonna watch TakeOver that night.
Oh yeah, definitely, because I already have the network.
Yeah, exactly. I got the network, and I don't know how much it's gonna fucking cost to pay for the G1 super card. So it's like,
yeah. Plus, but we're also not quite sure what the hell is going to go on with how things are going to be set up, because by this time, SmackDown's going to be airing on Friday.
Yeah.
So how are we doing SmackDown? How are we doing the Hall of Fame? How are we doing? I mean, Meltzer said that they're both NXT and the G1 Supercard are actually going to be on at different times.
Oh, okay.
Or at least start at different times.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get there closer. The most important thing about that period of time is what's going on with Joey Janela Spring Marie. That's the real.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Man, I want to go to Joey Janela's Lost in New York, but it's like I don't want to go up to New York by myself.
Yeah, I mean, I know they announced for that one Janela versus Hayabusa, a.k.a. Jinsei Shinzaki,
yes.
Plus PCO versus Matt Riddle. That's already... And I think they're going to try to do Nick Gage versus Rich Swann from the sounds of it, too.
Yeah.
So, that is actually already an impressive card.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay, and what else? Yeah, like, so... Yeah, it seems really interesting, man. I hope that, like, if I can't, like, if sometimes, if I can't somehow bum a ticket off of somebody in, that I know is going to that, maybe, are they going to be streaming that shit? Austin,
New York?
Yeah.
I don't know, they might be. They're, the way they're handling it, it sounds like it might be big enough for them to do that.
Yeah, because they can put that shit on Fight TV, I guess. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll let know, because for the big show, it's a big sounding show, so they might probably be the smart thing to do.
Yeah. And then what other news is there besides this? WWE has trademarked a clothing line called Top Rope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I don't see the point in them. Like, don't they have the deal with Tap Out?
Yeah, fuck them. Who cares?
Yeah, it's whatever. Anyway, but Yeah, I don't think I'll be diving into Top Rope anytime soon. But whatever. But of course, everybody, the one thing that we have been holding back on, of course, is the news of Hulk Hogan being reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame. Yes, he has finally done it. He has made it back into the good graces of WWE. So we think. So, yeah, of course, this has been met with mixed feelings for a lot of people. Some people have, like, really embraced it, saying Hulk deserves this, yada, yada, yada. Other people saying, fuck Hulk Hogan. Other people saying, like, are pretty much indifferent to it. Just a lot of different, like, takes on it. But one thing I did notice is that a lot of racist folks have been popping out the woodwork. A lot of them.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan is not that important to today's wrestling.
Like, today, like, yeah, like, I get it. He has legacy. He has the legacy and all that other shit, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's like, what is there a need for it? There's no need for him at all. Ever. None. Right now. Today. You know? Like, people just... And then to try to gloss over what he said and just try to toss it as, oh, he just said the N-word. You should just forget it. No, he said a whole bunch of fucked up shit. He was talking about black people and how, like, oh, if, like, basically a black person isn't worth Hulk Hogan's time or his daughter's time, in his words, basically, if they aren't, like, really big, tall, athletic dudes that are super rich. And that's the mentality of a lot of these white folks when it comes to black people. You're only good for, you know, for black people, we only feel like you're a person if you can entertain us, or you have like money. That's basically it. Those two things: entertainment and money. That's it. And so he called himself racist in the audio, like, plain as fucking day, spouting off the N-word over and over again like it was nothing. That's the way he fucking feels, you know? Like, and then he tried to spout off some bullshit apology multiple times, and, like, every apology he's come up with always brings up the fact that, that he was recorded. Like, that makes a fucking difference for what his thoughts are, you know? It's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on all this?
Honestly, I don't know what Hulk Hogan's value to wrestling is anymore. That it's not important. I mean, the audience that grew up watching him, are they still even watching Sling?
Yeah,
I mean,
half.
Complain about the Attitude Era would rather Stone Cold come back.
Right.
Yeah, people getting CM Punk. I don't see the value of Hulk Hogan in the world of wrestling right now.
None.
I mean, he stopped being relevant years ago.
Yeah.
Ric Flair still relevant.
Yeah, Ric Flair is way more relevant than him right now.
Yeah. I mean, because Ric Flair, I mean, yeah, he had his problems, but he sort of has embraced his, what he means to, not just to wrestling, but to, let's be honest, charisma and showboating.
Yeah.
Because he's such a larger-than-life icon.
Yeah. The difference...
Southern sports fans... Southern blacks specifically can't fuck with Flair.
Yeah. And here's the thing about difference between Flair and Hulk Hogan is that when you look at Flair, that's you what you see is what you get, basically, from him.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan seemed like he seems like he's always been like, oh, this is what he is in his private life, this is what he is to the public. You know? That's yeah. always what it seemed like, especially in recent years. Especially ever since his fucking reality show, The Hogan Knows Best. That's the type of thing that we've seen more and more from him. There are two sides, and he's not this figure that people should really be looking up to, you know. And then remember, there was an incident some years ago where they had to take down a dress code like thing. They had a whole like big poster or whatever at one of his restaurants or whatever, one of his shitty restaurants. And a lot of the rules was like definitely aimed at black people in the way they dress. You know?
Yeah.
And so, he's always had this thing, like, deep inside him that just that people kind of knew, but, like, I don't know. It just felt like he always felt off to people in the past, like, maybe 15 years or so. And now, in the past few years, we've seen it, like, bubble to the surface with the Gawker video and this audio of him with the N-word and all that shit. So
Flair has pretty much been mostly honest with who he is his entire career.
Yeah.
Very upfront. And I mean, his stories are so unbelievable, but you feel like they're real, and you feel his respect for the craft of the sport more than I would say Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Flair is more relevant. I mean, technically, Steve Austin's more relevant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Hulk Hogan has little to no value anymore. He can't really do anything. What's the big deal? Why is he important? Alright, I'm done. Fuck it, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, fuck him. And, alright, so, but I gotta keep continuing with the shit, because there's some layers to it. Of course, he was backstage for Extreme Rules, and rumor has it that they actually filmed an apology, for one of their docu-series. Most likely it's gonna be the WWE 24 shit that they've been doing, and whatnot. I believe Ellsworth got on a podcast and basically said that, yeah, he did apologize to the wrestlers backstage. So, he didn't say anything about... I don't think he said anything about it being filmed or whatever. But Ellsworth claims that he felt that it was sincere, blah, blah, blah. And that, he's happy.
Well, Ellsworth has less experience with a Hulk Hogan than I'm sure a lot of those guys do.
Yeah.
So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt this time, because I don't see Ellsworth as having ever been really involved. Well, not involved, but near any of the sort of scandal that a lot of wrestling has.
Yeah.
Before he went to WWE, he was an incredibly obscure indie wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Because he was still, like, wrestling and fucking, like, EWA and other like small promotions in Maryland and shit. Like, I think he did a little CZW shit like over a decade ago, but like other than that, like nothing really significant at all.
Yeah, so I don't see him ever being really around a lot of like backstage troubles and he said she said kind of stuff that kind of junk, so I could kind of like let that slide with Ellsworth's opinion on it. Now, other wrestlers who have been probably dealt with real issues, like I read Titus's thing a little while ago, so
I didn't read his shit yet, so maybe you can elaborate more. But there was that rumor that he walked out or some shit like that, but apparently they said it was false.
Let me see if I can find it again, because I was reading that a second ago.
Yeah, so while
you... Titus, the way a lot of black athletes have to speak on situations have to be incredible. you know, because deep down you read it, like, you know what they really want to say is fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I think Cedric Alexander, he seemed excited, which people immediately criticized, and he eventually tried to clear it up, saying that, basically, I can disagree with and dislike you personally, but respect you professionally. Whatever.
And so. I get that.
Which I
and
get,
I'm
but
sure
it did
on some
it,
level.
It did seem kind of odd, though. Like hit the excitement, though, in the tweet, though, it just seemed weird. You know, I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's probably a. I'm probably sure it's part confliction because he's probably the guy who probably looked up to Hulk Hogan a lot when he was a kid, maybe like a lot of us did. So, you know, there are certain glasses or goggles that come up. Anyway, this is what I found of the Titus O'Neil bit. Unfortunately, I must echo the sentiment and dissatisfaction expressed by many of my fellow contemporaries concerning Mr. Bollea's apology and his lack of true contrition, remorse, and a desire to change. Mr. Bollea's apology, that he didn't know he was being recorded, is not remorse for the hateful and violent utterances he made, which reprised language that has caused violence against blacks and minorities for centuries. So, that was a portion of Titus O'Neil's comments on the matter.
Huh. Okay, who else had comments? Of course, the New Day, which is the hottest black act in wrestling today, collectively they have a lot of clout, so of course that definitely helped that they made a joint statement. So, their statement read, to the WWE Universe and whoever else it may concern. This will be the only statement we will make regarding Hogan's reinstatement in WWE's Hall of Fame. We do not wish to spend the energy debating the point, because between our kids, our external ventures, and this job, our energy is spread thin enough already, LOL. We are only writing this simply to provide an answer to the many who have bombarded us with questions on whether we stand on the issue. We preface this statement by emphasizing that this is our own opinion and may not necessarily reflect the opinion of anyone else affected. How do we feel? Indifferent. We are not happy or sad, angry or resentful. Who WWE puts into the Hall of Fame is totally and completely up to the company, and from a career standpoint, there is no argument on whether or not Hogan should have his place. We have no problem with his reintroduction in the slightest degree. It is impossible to even begin to mention the history and the evolution of the business without mentioning his name and accolades. On a personal level, when someone makes racist and hateful comments about any race or group of people, especially to the degree that Hogan made about our people, we find it difficult to simply forget, regardless of how long ago it was or the situation in which those comments were made. But we also do not respond with more feelings of hate. Instead, we just do not associate with the people who convey or have conveyed this negative and hurtful mindset. This instance will be on, will be no different. Perhaps if we see him make a genuine effort to change, then maybe our opinion will change with him. Time will tell. Through the course of lives, people have used racist comments towards us. It doesn't feel good. But if we stopped moving forward every time we're met with prejudicial hate, then we would have never achieved our current accomplishments. We know we are worth it. We know our kids are worth it. And most importantly, we know that people that look like us are worth it and always have been. There isn't a person on this planet who will be ever be able to say anything to make us think otherwise, because we believe in ourselves as a people and don't need anyone's approval on that, regardless of who they are. Having said that, his reinstatement won't change anything for us. It will have zero effect on our ability to perform or the level of effort we will put into doing what we love to do, and that is to deliver an entertaining product each week for our families. Sincerely, The New Day. Never trade your authenticity for approval. quote unquote.
So yeah, that was a long statement. They really wanted to.
Oh yeah. So they were very concise, very eloquent with this statement. Basically said that they weren't. Basically, they weren't trying to flip out about it. Like they're gonna treat it as whatever. But we still don't like what he said. We'll see how shit goes. But of course, that was also met with people just still spouting hate at them. Like, talking a whole bunch of shit, saying like, oh, you guys need to forgive him. You guys need to get over it and all this shit like that. And just a whole bunch of people telling other people how to feel about being disrespected the way they are, you know? It's insane.
People are assholes and idiots. If it's not one thing, it's another. I had to listen to all these idiots tell me how much they hate the new She-Ra. Like, I have the old She-Ra. I'm fine. I don't give a fuck. Who cares? Let people, you know. I hate fans. They complain about stupid shit. They want everyone to have the same fucking opinion they do. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Calm down, wrestling fans. Calm down, cartoon fans. Comic fans, stop being fake-ass losers who read superhero comics. Don't pick up morality from it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Surrounded by assholes. Fuck them.
Yeah, but I just hate how so many people are just trying to excuse his behavior, saying like, oh, people have said so much worse in so much worse in private also, and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people really haven't. That's not really true. Like, they're just trying to, like, do these mental gymnastics. And if you have the intent, maybe you have a whole bunch of, like, things that you've said in private that aren't supposed to be said. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and that reflects poorly on you than any, more poorly on you than anybody. You know?
In the words of Bad Luck Fale, fuck 'em.
Yeah, fuck 'em. Oh, man, shit. It's insane, though.
Yeah. How are you gonna do?
Yeah. Yo, fuck Hulk Hogan, man.
Fuck
him. Yeah, like, yeah, here's my thing, like, I get it, like, I side with the New Day in the fact that, like, yeah, he, I guess he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, yada, 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 but I'm not gonna forget that shit. You know?
Yeah.
Shit. Like, okay, you could be excited for him going back to the Hall of Fame, but don't fucking, like, tell me how to deal with the shit. Just stop. Just fucking stop. It's insane, dude. Man, fuck.
Like I said, I don't care. He has no relevance to the product that I watched.
Yeah.
Anything else we got?
Nope, that's it.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna end on that note. So you got anything to plug?
Yes, I have an Instagram. I posted a bunch of images from Colorado. So you can check that out. It's westside.ga. And then I'm also on Twitter, where I retweet stuff and complain about stuff. That one is CM Towns. I have been doing reviews on my blog, mygeekdom.wordpress.com. I just reviewed the book Meddling Kids, which was a pretty good Scooby-Doo inspired Cthulhu type, whatever. It was a fun little book. And after the last two books I read, that was good. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. Yeah, so of course you can check us out on radio.com. They also have their Twitter, Rantian Radio. Yeah, so we're broadcasting 9 p.m. EDT, Thursday nights. You could also check out the flagship show, The Rant, Shiny Wizards, Terrible Throwbacks, We Connect to the Geeks, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, you could also check out archived episodes on their website as well. For me, Doomsday519, tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday519 on YouTube is my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And with that, we're gonna end it on a high note. And hey, smoke weed every day.